Golf Smarter number 601. And today is a great example of the variety of conversation I like to have on Golf Smarter. Of course, we all love instruction. And our next two episodes are going to be on the short game with Tim Yelverton. And Jeff Mangum is coming back from the putting zone to talk about putting. But today is one of those great golf stories that I just love to hear about and feature on the show for both of our entertainment. But I also want you to know that we have two other podcasts from smarterpodcast.com that we invite you to hear. Radio Baseball Cards, hosted by Hall of Fame pitcher Don Drysdale, and Good Dog with Joanne Green. Yeah, that's my wife. Need to give you a little background here. Joanne and I met working in rock and roll radio in San Francisco a long time ago. I was an engineer, producer, and she was a news anchor and talk show host. And even though I left radio before she did, we also did a lot of freelance work together. She did the interviews, and I was the recording engineer. So I learned all my interview skills from her. And actually, it was almost 30 years from the time that I stopped being a radio DJ till I got back in front of the microphone, and that was to start Golf Smarter. So if you like my interview style, or even if you're on the border, she is a lot better than me, I promise. And it comes across in the Good Dog Podcast. So please check out both Radio Baseball Cards and the Good Dog Podcast from wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Holy shit! I've qualified as an amateur to play in the U.S. Senior Open Championship with Larry Salt.
This is Golf Smarter. Sharing stories, tips, and insights from great golf minds to help you lower your score and raise your golf IQ. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome to the Golf Smarter Podcast, Larry.
Hi, Fred. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for coming by to do this interview because I was blown away when I heard about your story. I just think this is so cool. So we're going to have to break this down and figure out. I just want to hear your highlights, your moments of playing in the 2017 U.S. Senior Open Championship.
Okay.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, had you ever played in a pro event before?
I played professionally really briefly in South Africa. I was 24. I just graduated college. And I decided to bypass going to Q school after I graduated and then went to play in the Sunshine Tour in South Africa. And when I was there, Tom Lehman was there. John Daly was there. He was 20. I think John was like 20 or 21. And I had a great time in South Africa. Didn't play very well.
Is that because you were having too much fun?
Yes.
I've heard those kind of stories before.
And played. And back in those days, if you weren't exempt, you qualified on Monday. If you qualified, then you played in the tournament. If you made the cut, then you could go to the next week. And qualified for one event in Durban, missed the cut, and then just every week was just, missing qualifying. A lot of great players there. And it was tough and having a little bit too much fun and just, it didn't really play that well. So then I came back after that and got my amateur status back. Probably within 12 to 18 months.
How were you able to do that just by not playing in?
Yeah, you just, I think right before that, back in those days.
What years are you talking about?
I'm talking like 1988, 89.
That's when you were down there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They switched the rules. The USGA switched the rules and they made it more lenient. And there was some calculation based on how long you were a pro, and since I was a pro for like 9 months, I came back to Southern California. I was playing Golden State Tour back in those days, and it was a small mini tour, kind of in Orange County, LA County, and you play these Monday events, and first place could be 650 or 750. It was 200 to get in, and it was just a grind. And there were a lot of good players. It wasn't like, you know, you could just go out there and win every single week. There were just, it was really competitive. And I
But
just,
it was all in Southern California?
All in Southern California.
Good. So you didn't have travel expenses other than your gasoline at the time.
No, but, you know, if you're living in L.A. and you're playing a tournament out, a two-dayer out in the desert, last thing you want to do after you play 18 holes in Palm Desert is have to go back to L.A. and then come back out in the morning. So you're staying out there. It's not glamorous. It's Motel 6. It's Travel Lodge. Yeah. So I did that and just kind of came back and just got to the point. It was illuminating in South Africa because I played with a lot of guys that didn't hit the golf ball as good as I did, but they were grinders and they scored really well. And it after a while, it got kind of grating on me. And I was just like, I don't have that grind. I don't have, I just, what, not that I don't have it. I wasn't will. I knew I wasn't willing to do what it was going to take so that I could have satisfaction saying, okay, I gave it my best. I just wasn't willing to do it.
Really?
So, yeah, so I got my amateur status back.
So I'm curious, if you didn't have that wanting to grind and, you know, have that in you, what drew you, what made you decide that I'm going to South Africa to play golf professionally?
Well, I got done with, I went to San Diego State. I played golf down there. Got done with that and then started playing pretty good. So what happened was I played the state amateur one. That year I played in the state amateur. I finished, I think, third or fourth in the medal play before match play. And then played a few pro events, and then I turned pro and played some pro events in the Golden Stater and, you know, had round, you know, had some tournaments where I shot like, you know, 65, but then blew out the second round, shot 76 or 77. I did that a couple times. So I knew I had, there was a score that I could score and they were tough golf courses. And so I'm like, well, I'll try this out. And, you know, I'd put a lot of time into golf prior to that. So it was like, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to kind of do it now. And so when Q School came up, I kind of got late to that and I figured, you know, I'll just pass on Q School, but they had the South African tour and they literally, there, this guy, Mike Lemus took 50 or 60 Americans over to South Africa. We were held up at the Holiday Inn in Sandton in Johannesburg. And that was kind of like home base. And then we played in all these tournaments and it was like, you know, you go out and play in these tournaments and the one that I qualified for, you know, Tony Johnston's, you know, shooting 20 under for four rounds and I'm blowing out at shooting 150 and not making the cut. And I was like, oh, okay, there's that. Right. And the, you know, and there were Tony Johnston was playing really well. And there were a lot of other good players. I mean, Lehman was, you know, they're just Daly
and they were playing Jim in South Africa too.
Jim McGovern and, really? And Stephen Ames and just a lot of guys. And, you know, I saw Daly when he was 21 years old, and nobody really had known him too well. I played a lot of golf with his roommate, Eric Hoos, and a funny thing happened, which was we were playing a practice round at this golf course. I forget the name of the course in Johannesburg, and I was playing with Steve Thomas. And the year before, Steve Thomas had the held the long driving distance on the tour, right? So I'm playing with Steve, and Steve's talking around and stuff. And Daly's playing behind us, and I hit this. We go off the tee, and I hit it. Thomas probably hit it 15 yards or something like that by me. We're hanging around. Steve's talking. All of a sudden, this golf ball flies over us by like 30 yards. And I don't know why John hit or whatever, but it turned out it was Daly, and he hit 3-wood off the tee. And then he went on, and then he played really well in the South African Open. And when he... When he started playing well in the PGA, I absolutely knew this guy had every ounce of game that it took to do what he did. It was phenomenal.
Wow.
And a super, he was super sweet, a super guy.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Totally really cool guy.
What happened?
What's that?
What happened?
Well, I think he's probably one of the most talented guys ever to play golf.
Wow.
I mean, when you talk about just finesse and the ability to hit a golf ball and to cover a shot and get the club face squared back up and hit it, I think when he's on, there's nobody better. And, you know, he's like a rare artist or a musician or, I mean, at that level, I just, you know, I mean, it's just what it is.
Well, it sure is cool that you appreciate great golf.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when you're out there and you see a lot of it, you know.
I saw a lot when I was growing up.
Sure.
I grew up at Rancho Park in L.A. In the late 70s. So I used to hang out at a range, and Tony Sills, he got me my first job at L.A. Country Club. Mac O'Grady was back when he was Phil Mugleno. He was hanging out there. I used to hang out and watch. You know, we used to beat balls and take photos when I was 14 years old.
So cool.
Greg Twiggs, who went on to San Diego State, who went on tour. Curtis Sifford, Charlie Sifford's nephew, who is just a phenomenal golfer, and John Grund will even say that Curtis,
who's been on the show multiple times.
Yeah, so one of the things about Curtis was, this is probably in the mid-80s. Curtis was playing... He went from playing Wilson Staff irons and a Titleist golf ball to playing like Lynx irons with a pinnacle. And he played it well because he hit this hard, he hit this high cut. And he used to just say, I got no problems in the wind because this pinnacle would just, you know, go right through. Anyway, he was ahead of his time because now everything's a two-piece hard ball with metal cast big. So I would say he's an innovator.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And when you took off for South Africa, you're just finishing up college and whatnot. How were your parents about that?
My dad's always been very supportive for golf for me, and kind of, he's not, a real stalwart, real disciplinarian. He was just really always there and supportive. And so, they were fine with it. I mean, by that time, I was 24 when I made the decision. It wasn't like there was going to be a lot of conversation, because if I'm not feeling the vibe, it's like you got to do what you got to do.
Right.
So it was pretty, it was pretty clear for me. It was pretty clear. And only one buddy of mine who I keep in touch with, who I played college golf with, Scott Almquist. And, at that level, you're like, oh, well, you're pretty good. And then you realize there's, a line down to that pine tree 200 yards away of guys that are just that deep and that good.
Yeah.
So as, it is what it is. Anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, are either your parents still around?
My dad is. He actually came out for the tournament. He's 93 years old.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Did he ever get the chance to see you play professionally?
He never saw me play professionally. He saw me play...
I'm sure he saw you play a lot.
Yeah, he saw... He didn't
come to South Africa.
He didn't go to South Africa.
And then the Golden State Tour.
The Golden State Tour was not that exciting. Yeah. He wasn't going to be driving from West L.A. down to watch me play in, like... Palm Desert or something like that during the summertime.
Yeah. No, not Palm Desert. No, absolutely not.
But he did.
Oh, but he got to see you play this past week.
And he saw me set a course record one time. So
wow.
That was cool.
That's always nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's really awesome that he got to watch you play. All right, let's bring it to today.
Okay.
All right, you've established yourself as a wannabe professional golfer as a kid.
Not anymore.
And, yeah, right,
not
exactly.
Anymore.
And then it's like, oh, okay, well, I guess I just love to play golf, and it's not going to be necessarily... Did you go into golf instruction or profession?
No, never.
Are you associated with golf in any way?
The only thing I did was I never wanted to teach. I'm not... For my buddies that are out on the golf course with me, I have a good eye for certain things,
sure.
For better, for... more advanced golfers, but I never wanted to teach. I worked at, like I said, the LA Country Club. I worked at Riviera Country Club, kind of golf operations in the golf shop, and just, never really wanted to go into it. So,
may I ask what you do?
So for the last 20 years, I've been buying and selling surplus inventories of electronic and computer parts. And what I primarily do is original equipment manufacturers, contract manufacturers like an IBM or a Dell, they have parts that are kind of interchangeable, whether it's hard drives or keyboards or LCDs that are interchangeable amongst different types of supply chains, whether it's Apple or somebody else. So when they don't need certain stuff anymore, as opposed to throwing a dumpster, we come along, we buy it, and we repurpose it back in the market.
Okay.
So I was... fortunate enough, about 24 years ago, a buddy of mine was doing, he was doing distribution and golfing buddy of mine. And he said, why don't you come in and try this out? And I was pretty good with numbers. And he said, just put your head down for a year and do it. And I did it.
You're still doing it.
Still doing it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, but you're still playing golf.
Still playing golf.
Love to play golf. You're competing with your friends. You may have money on the line when you're playing with your friends or not.
Yeah, of course.
They'll play with you.
Yeah, I have to give up some shots, but
well, that's what a handicap is for.
Right. Right. Okay. So, but you know, usually the guys I'm playing with are, you know, anywhere from a plus one to an eight or a 10.
Where are you right now?
I'm a plus 1.5.
Wow.
Yeah.
How often do you get to play?
It's been a good run of late.
You've been warming up for the U.S. Senior Open.
Right. That's the excuse. That's the excuse. Between that. So, yeah, you know, probably 2 days a week I get out and then supplement with a couple trips to Bandon a year. And then, you know, I play in some NCGA events and prior to the Open, you know, we were playing the Northern Cal, four ball down Spyglass. So I was able to, I tried to get as much reps in before I was going to go to the show.
What does it take to, and you had amateur status?
I had amateur status.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what does it take to get your amateur status now to get to the U.S. Senior Open Championship? What did you have to do?
You want the short story or the long story?
Oh, it's a podcast. We've got time.
So, you know, I was playing a lot of golf at San Geronimo. Uh-huh. Won the club championship there a few years. Mm-hmm. Playing the NCGA four ball, kind of. So I turned 50 3 years ago. My 50th, I didn't try to qualify for the Senior Open. Then I did 2 years ago and I got my app in late. So I had to go to Crystal Air in Llano, which is in Palmdale. So yeah, that was a lot of fun and didn't really play that well. And then last year I played at Diablo Country Club over in Danville, Walnut Creek. Mm-hmm. And again, shot, you know, I don't know, 77, 78 and it took 71 or whatever. So I put it in this year and didn't really have, had very low expectations.
Always a good thing.
Yeah. We had just come back. We went up to Bandon for like 5 days with some buddies.
Wow.
We played the Sheep's Ranch 2 days, which was one of the best experiences I've ever had on a golf course.
Wait, Sheep's Ranch? Is that one of the new courses of Bandon? That's not even on Bandon.
No, it's not.
Where is it?
So the Sheep's Ranch, if you're at Old MacDonald.
Okay.
And you look north up the coast, there's this just green area that's right on the coastline. And it was designed, it was routed by Doak. And Kaiser owns it as a joint venture with I think, the original owner.
Okay, and Kaiser is the guy that owns Bandon Dunes.
He's done Bandon. And
Mike Kaiser.
Yes. And so you go there, you have to contact this one guy. It's $100 per man all day. All day.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And you go out there, they unlock a gate, you drive in, you bring a cooler, you bring some camping chairs. There's like eight push carts that you can use, the big trolley carts. We had this girl that's caddied for us before, she forecaddied for us. And there's 13 greens and that's 8 tee boxes. And you do your own routings.
Huh?
You do whatever you want to do. You literally play any hole that you want to play. If you want to play a hole that's 1,500 yards long, you can play it. We played, I played three of the greatest par fours in golf. And what we did, there was like five greens out on the cliff. Uh-huh. So we played out to one, and then we played these two par fours in succession along the coastline. It would be the equivalent of like number 9 at Pebble. And number 8, right? We did two of those. And then from that tee box down by that green, we came back up along the coastline. Mm. And it's just, it's phenomenal.
Wow.
It's phenomenal.
I've never
golf.
Heard of it. But yeah. It's like, it's not just, anybody can get on type
well,
of thing.
Well, no, you have to contact a guy. There's no, they
you got a,
they
a guy who in, knows a guy who knows
right,
a guy.
They truck in the water. There's no irrigation, so it shuts down during the summer because it bakes out too fast.
Sure.
And
does it have the winds that Bandon has?
It's actually windier because it's a northernmost point.
Oh.
Now they're trying to, Mike Kaiser wants to build a golf course there, an 18-hole golf course. So they're working currently right now with the Coastal Commission. I think Gil Hands is, Gil Hands is slated to do the design. But until they do, it's as good as it gets.
Wow.
And we played 76 holes in 2 days.
Wow.
We did one hole, you know, and then a friend of mine, Jackson Radcliffe, that I went up there with, he did one of the routings, and it was just awesome. So I had a lot, that was a lot of fun. That's the kind of golf I like to play.
Yeah, right.
There's no suffering in that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
No matter what. So,
are you sure you've never heard one of my podcasts before? Because I go all over the map too. So I just,
right.
Like, I'm trying to ask you, wait, how did you qualify for the
US?
Oh,
got it. Okay. So anyway, so I was playing there. Sorry about that. So I was playing there. I got done with that. I signed up for the qualifier. It was Green Valley up in Fairfield, Green Valley Country Club. And I think it's Jeff Wilson's home golf course, who's probably one of the best amateurs in the country. And I think Jeff Bray, who is a pro, really good player. He's played a lot of golf out there. So I was kind of like, I'm just going to go out and whatever. There was a low expectation. So second group off, I'm even going into six. I birdie 6, 7, and 8. John Grund's playing behind me. He got on 14 or 13 or 14. He asked me how I'm doing on this really tough par 3. I tell him I'm 2 under, and I figure that was the kiss of death.
Yep.
Right? I made a good par. Next hole, I make a 25-footer for birdie. Next hole, I make a par. Then I hit it like 3 feet, make another birdie, and then I power-lipped like a 5-footer on 18, or I would have shot 68. So I get in the clubhouse, and Brian Henninger, who's on the senior tour, he was out there qualifying. He comes in at 69, and they only take 2 spots and 2 alternates. So now I have to wait around for 2 hours, and I wait around for 2 hours, and this other guy comes in at 69, so now we got to do a playoff. Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Right.
How exciting.
And I've been iced. I've
And you've been sitting there for how many hours?
So I go down, and I don't enjoy playoffs. I don't go, I'm going to get this one right now, when, you know, I'm kind of
So you've been sitting for a couple hours now. Yeah. Do you get a chance to go out and warm up at all?
Yeah, I did. Okay, well, I did good. When John was like, buddy, you better go down to the range and de-thaw. Oh,
okay.
So I went down there, hit some balls. We came up, and it was 3 guys for 2 spots. We got up on the first hole at Green Valley. We played 1, 9, 10, and 11. And on the first hole, I blew it right off the tee. Henninger hits it in the bunker. This other guy nukes it down the fairway. I chip out with a 4-iron. I got 70 yards left. Henninger goes bunker to bunker on purpose because he hits it in the greenside bunker on a second shot, and the pin was tucked right there.
Mm.
And I saw him at the tournament last week. I'm like, yeah, you hit it there because you get it up and down 12 out of 10 times.
Right.
He's like, absolutely. You know, and he said, yeah. So we all make I get up there. I hit a 70-yard wedge about 4 feet. I make my putt, or 5 feet, and the other guy 2 putts. We go to the next hole. Henninger hits it about 20 feet. We're both in the back of the green. Me and Kurt, we both hit the greens are rolling like 12s, and we both lag into like 5 feet. He knocks it in. Mm-hmm. He looks at us, says, "Hey, thank you very much. Good luck to you," because he's in. And then we both make our putts, and now we keep going, and we play the 10th hole. I kind of let him off the hook a little bit. I should have birdied 10. We both made pars. He made an 8-footer for par and 10. He got it up and down on 11 made another 8-foot snake over the green. I had to 2-putt. And then we got up to the 5th hole, which is our first hole, the par 5 again. And I was a little bit pumped up. I hit a wedge from 140. On my second shot, and I thought it was like 25 feet beyond the hole. I'm like, it was a good shot. It was downwind. Kurt hits and punch 9-iron. He was just in front of me, and it one hops hits the flagstick. And it hits the flagstick so hard that it kind of caroms. I'm like, oh, that's off the green. So he's going to be off the green. I'm going to be in the back, and we'll kind of get this thing going. I walk up there, and there's 2 balls, 1 6 feet, 1 7 feet from the hole. And then I walk up closer, and mine's 6 feet. So he gets up there, and I'm like, okay, he's automatic. He hasn't missed.
Yeah.
And he pushed the putt a little bit, or it didn't break or whatever, and I center cut mine, and I was like, I'm in.
Oh,
That's how I got it, and it was really cool. I got low am for the qualifier, and so I was good with that, right? I mean, like, I'm good.
I
can go home. I don't even need to go.
I
qualified. See you later.
Oh, great.
So, yeah. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So then, so I'm getting ready for the turn.
So is that like just the week before? How much?
No, it was like time? 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay.
2 or 3 weeks before.
So now, are there qualifiers going on all over? This was the qualifier.
There was 4 or 5 qualifiers through the country, 2 spots per site.
Okay.
And I think that qualifier was like the next to the last to get in.
Okay.
And they started like 2 weeks or like 10 days before or something. So we get in, I signed up for the Sacramento City to kind of keep my chops a little bit. Went up there, played in the heat in Roseville. That was a lot of fun. I think I shot 76-70 and finished 11th or something like that against the kids, the flat bellies. And so that was my kind of getting ready, right? That was, and then playing with my buddies, Bob and Chris and Jackson, just to kind of get out there and play for 5. So that was kind of it. And then, went out to Salem. So I got there on Saturday night.
So you go to Peabody, Mass.
Peabody, Mass.
Yes. Not Peabody.
No, I know. And I'm going to butcher it while we're on this podcast.
It's okay. My wife's from Boston.
Okay,
I learned early on it's not Peabody. It's like, yes, it is.
Right.
It's Peabody.
Right.
No, only in Boston Peabody. It's Peabody.
Right.
Okay. So you're playing in Peabody, Mass.
Peabody, Mass. Thank you. And first one to register. So I have, they leave one space open for last year's champion. I was the first one right there. Got a picture of that, of course, all jacked up. And then you get to make your starting times for your practice rounds. And my buddy Scott's like, don't punt this. Go play with some guys, right? So yeah. I saw Tom Kite's name. I'm like, oh, I'm playing with Tom Kite. He had one of the greatest U.S. Open wins at Pebble, shot even par in 40 mile an hour winds. I watched him so much when I was growing up, I would be honored.
Oh.
So Tom Kite, first round, there was nobody else there filled in. And then, second round was John Cook, Tom Byram.
Did you playing threesomes?
No, you can play four.
You can
play
you foursomes. Foursomes.
And okay. So Tom Byram. And then the third day I was going to play with Keith Huber, who's a buddy of mine. I played in the North Cal Senior Open last year. And I was like, oh, that'll be cool. I'll play with Keith. So sign up, getting kind of ready, getting kind of jacked up for the practice rounds, right? So the first practice round was 1:50 in the afternoon on Monday. And I'm on the practice putting green, already hit some balls, and I'm looking at my caddy. I'm going, John, shouldn't we go out to the first tee? Shouldn't we go out for the first tee? He goes, yeah, we can go out there. So as I'm getting out to the first tee and I'm walking over this cart path, I just see Tom Kite hit, and the other three guys are already walking away. And I'm like,
wait, isn't that your group?
Yes. I'm like, oh no, this is terrible. So I go, hey guys, I'm your fourth, right? I mean, and it's not really the way I want to introduce myself.
No, you don't walk onto a tee box late.
I'm your fourth, right? So Mike Allen turns around to me with a straight face and he goes, oh no, we only play threesomes. And he goes, I'm just messing with you, right? So he goes, go ahead and hit. Now my heart's racing, right? It's a hybrid off the first tee. I take the club. I drop the tee. Now, let me segue my worst golf dream, and I've had it reoccurring all my life.
Oh, no.
Is I can't, I'm called to a tee in a major tournament. I can't put the peg in the ground. Or I'm like standing in a bunker. That's the tee box. And I'm like this, hitting it, right?
Yeah, right.
Right? So I get up there. I block all my thoughts. I clank a hybrid out there, and I actually got a few claps because they're like, that was amazing. You just ran up and hit the ball. I'm like, thank you. So we walk down, and I'm playing, and we're playing along. And on the second hole, Kevin Muir, who is the other, was also in the group from Michigan. He's playing a birdies game with Mike Allen, and I'm chopping it all over the place. I'm hitting it on the green, 3 putting, not hitting at the green, but doing whatever. And so they're playing the $5 birdie game. I'm like, you know what? I'll be a donor. I'll play, right? Starting on the next hole. And so for the rest of the round, Mike calls me donor. Except for that, on the eighth hole, I made a really good birdie on him.
Nice.
Yeah, it was. They were all out of the hole, and I just knocked a 15-footer right behind the hole. So it was a lot of fun. It was great to walk the fairways with Tom Kite and, you know, get his thoughts, watch what he does, and just his demeanor. Just, I mean, Tom and Mike Allen and Kevin are just really good guys, really super duper guys.
So when you're competing at that level with guys that are that good and named like Tom Kite, is there a lot of banter back and forth during the round? Is it like a normal round of golf when you're just, you know, with your buddies and you're talking, or it gets too serious?
No, it was somewhat lighthearted. So, I mean, like Tom and Mike had banter among, they were giving each other some crap. I didn't have that invitation so much. I didn't think it was really appropriate. Although with Mike, I could kind of go back and forth. Mm-hmm. Since he named me donor and he wasn't beating me in a skins game, I kind of tossed it back at him.
Okay.
So when I make a birdie, I'm going, there goes donor. Yeah. You know, like that kind of thing.
Fun.
So it wasn't, but they had a lot of fun. And
does that happen on a regular basis where there's a tournament going on and everyone's watching and these four guys have little bets going on?
I don't think they bet a lot out there. I didn't get the
sense. Were you kind of surprised that was going on? That there was a little gambling going on?
I figured a little something just to kind of keep it interesting. Because in practice rounds, most of them are hitting. They'll hit one drive, they'll hit to the green, and then they'll drop in three balls and hit back and forth and every which way on the putting green, kind of get feel. So I'm sure there are, but I wasn't privy to much.
Okay.
So I couldn't really speak to that too much. Right.
All right. So now this is not a practice round. This is your first round.
No.
This is still a practice round.
Oh, you want me to move it forward? Okay, I got it. Okay.
No. I'm right, fine. Right. I just was.
So that was a practice round, and
how'd you do?
I didn't have to come out of my pocket to pay Mike Allen, so that was good.
Oh, that's good.
Right.
Okay.
And then Tom quit after nine holes. He plays nine holes front back each separate days, and that was his practice round. So we had a really good time. Second day, I played with John Cook and Tom Byram, and that was fantastic. Really good guys, and I was able to, you know, coming down the first fairway, 8:50 in the morning, we tee off, and then all of a sudden, two people are running behind us, and it's Paul Azinger and Julie Angster, and
they're
asking questions, and Azinger comes up to my golf bag, and I got these TaylorMade MCs with lead tape on them. He looks at me, he goes, "Oh, dude, I like that. It's old school." You know, so he's really funny. And then, you know, he pulled out my driver on the second tee box, and I have this Ping G with an Atmos Fujikura X shaft. It's a very stout shaft. I don't like left. I've taken left out of my golf game. And Zanger's doing one of these, and he goes, "Oh, bro, I couldn't hit that. There's no way. That's too stiff for me." So it was good as I clanked a bunker shot on two with all those guys. That kind of broke the ice. It made me feel like I'm a little bit there. And again, you know, Tom Byram, John Cook, really good guys. And then Tommy Armour the third joined us on the 10th tee.
Wow.
And he hits it long. He hits it good. But they were just really, really, just really great. You know, really great. And
great guys or great players?
Both.
Yeah.
Both.
Yeah.
Truly both. I mean, you know, I think John is getting more involved with the Golf Channel and mm-hmm. being on course and stuff like that. But, you know, still tons of golf game.
Yeah.
Tons.
Yeah.
So did that. Then I played with Keith and Doug Garwood, who's on the senior tour now, who walked up to me on the range. He says, "Hey, Larry, are you Larry Salk?" I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "I'm Doug Garwood." I'm like, I'm drawing a blank. He's like, "No, Doug Garwood, Doug Harper from Fresno State and from junior golf." I'm like, "Oh my God." So I hadn't seen him in like 30 years.
Whoa.
Right. So
and you competed against him in college?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, totally.
He remembered you and you were playing.
So and then it turned out he joined us with Keith for the practice round. So
cool.
that was a lot of fun. Really great guy. So that was that and got the practice rounds in. And then comes to my first round, tee off at 2:40 in the afternoon, the second to last time off the 10th tee. And we go
so now
to
this is the official,
this is the official
2017
deal.
U.S. Senior Open Championship in Peabody, Mass.
Peabody. So we go to the range, and Watson's on the range.
Wow.
And he's hitting it. It looks really good. And I'm like, okay, I told my caddy, I'm like, put the bag right over there.
Right next to him?
Yeah, right next to him. So he does. And so now I'm getting ready to play in the Senior U.S. Open. There's Tom Watson. I'm a little jacked up. And I usually hit, I usually warming up, I'll go through the lob wedge, gap wedge, eight iron, all the way down. I hit four lob wedges. I went straight to the driver. I was so pumped up just to get rid of some energy.
A little caffeine
was,
running through the veins,
huh? I was killing it. I was killing it. And Tom Byram, who I played a practice round with, I know he was over there just shaking his head going, dude, what are you doing? Go through the bag. I hit a little bag of drivers. I was just so jacked up, but it, you know, it felt good. So did that. That was a lot of fun. And then went off and played. And, you know, first tee, they announced my name. I just hoping to, like, kind of keep it on the rivets. Really, I was probably more nervous playing with Tom Kite at a certain respect. And then just got up there and just killed it. I mean, I just bled the ball. Just bled it. Perfect. So that kind of got things going. And then three putted the first hole for bogey. Mm. Bad bogey on two. Hit it like 5 feet on my third hole on a par three. Missed it. And then 16, 17, 18. There's an old saying on Donald Ross golf courses. You don't go long. And I went long on all three. And dub, dub, dub. Mm. So, and then shot even on the back, I think, to shoot 79. And, you know, it was like I hit it pretty good for 79, but I was definitely out of my comfort zone. I really wasn't out there to grind. Mm-hmm. I played with Jaime Gomez, who I played in South Africa with.
Really?
And he was playing well. He was definitely had more gear to grind and to make a round out of it. I played with Joe Boris as well. But I had a great time. Yeah. I mean, I just, there was no, you know, it was like, who cares? And that's for me kind of a segue about golf, but it's like, you know, golf's about shots. We go to band and we want to hit shots. We don't worry about score.
Right.
And that's kind of how it is. So yeah, I shot 79 next day, trying to get it going, got on the bogey train a little bit.
Oops.
Made a couple good birdies coming in, shot 75 and thank you very much. And that was it. And
So you didn't make the cut.
Did not make the cut.
I'm
no,
sorry.
Didn't make it. I'm fine with not making the
How
cut.
How far off were you?
I think the cut was 141, so about 13 shots.
Oh,
13 shots.
You were in our territory.
I was 145th in putting.
Wow.
Right, as a stat. So
out of
156?
140.
140? No.
146?
Right. Out of 140. So we did that, and that was kind of it. And then, you know, my family was out there. We were, you know, there's
Your
other stuff.
Your dad got to watch you play, though.
Yeah, he was stoked. And I, you know, the last time I played that he saw me was the CIF High School, and I played up at Pebble and wasn't playing good, and I was not a happy golfer in my youth,
mm-hmm.
and that's why I had to stop grinding.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a little self-loathing, kind of down, dark. And so this time, shooting 79, 75, it was all good.
Yeah.
It was really all good.
I have a job I can go back to.
Right.
I have a family.
I actually, this
is not the end of the world.
I was actually on, someone told my, a friend of mine said, he goes, I saw you on TV at that time. Remember you said, you're so happy you're going back to work on Monday? I said, yeah. So, yeah, totally. I mean, I have complete respect for all those guys out there. They're unbelievably good golfers, and they're warriors. It's not easy. There's nothing easy or, I mean, I'm sure they're having a good time, but fun is not, it's a different
it's work.
Gear. It's work. It's a work.
Hard
and it's
work.
A calling. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, completely.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
So did you stick around for the rest of the weekend and
watch how
Kenny Perry won the whole thing?
I did. I watched. I was really interested to see where he was driving it, where I was driving it, all that stuff. And
because I watched an interview, you know, a post-round interview with him, and he was like, oh, I really had some bad shots. He was, you know, but
he made a lot of putts. But, the putter was hot.
Yeah.
So that's a great equalizer. John Grund will tell you that.
Yeah.
So, no, you know, Saturday I was kind of burnt out. So we just actually, we rented this house in Concord.
Concord, Mass.
Yeah, Concord, mm-hmm. Mass. And had an 8-bedroom on 40 acres, and it was just great. So we hung out on Saturday and watched it. I like watching golf on TV.
Love watching,
I
golf,
love
on
watching
TV
golf on TV
when it's a major. If there's golf on TV on Sunday, and I have a choice of playing or watching, I'm going to go play.
Oh, no, absolutely. I'd rather play it than watch it.
But watching a major is really spectacular television.
Completely. Absolutely.
Even if it's like, I don't know these guys who are in it at the end, but it doesn't matter because they're grinding it out and they're battling and it's fun to watch on a Sunday.
Yeah, no, completely. So, yeah, it was good and just did that. I was pretty tired.
Yeah.
Because I played four practice rounds where everybody else is playing like one or two. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, I'm going to do this thing.
Yeah, I'm here.
Right. So, so we did that and then Sunday watched the tournament and then just let's get back home. And it's back home.
So and here it is. And yeah. Now you have actually played.
I've played in the U.S. Senior Open. Yeah.
Is it, okay, son, is it out of your system?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
If there's a chance for you to qualify again next year, would you try?
I think I would. And if it's a one and done, I'm fine. I mean, because there's no way I'm going to be a field filler. I mean, and I'm good with that, but I'm filling a field. That's what I did in college. That's what I'm doing now. Because there's just no way to compete. Those guys are just, you know, they can turn it on.
Yeah. So, isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it really is.
For golf, too. Because you think you, like, I'm focused, I'm concentrating, I'm doing this. And no.
You know, I mean, they're just, these guys can just turn it on and go to another gear, and they're really good.
Yeah.
They're really good.
So's your story.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, man. That is, I thank you so much for sharing it.
My pleasure.
I love hearing about these guys who, you know, the little trains that could. I think I can. Well, maybe I can't. And I'm okay with that. But I tried.
Right.
But I tried.
Right.
I love these stories. Yeah, I love these stories, and I really appreciate you coming by.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I told you. Larry's story is not something you'll hear a lot about. Unless the guy makes the cut, comes in the top 10. But then everyone has that same story. We're just a little different here, which is why I love to do this so much. So if you appreciate different content like we have here, then please write a review for Golf Smarter in iTunes or the Apple Podcasts app. And follow us at Golf Smarter on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Or if you prefer one-stop shopping, all this plus Golf Smarter TV and our complete archives are at golfsmarter.com.